This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown.
Oh yeah, little Frankie, Chicago, baby, good morning. Welcome Chicago. To Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We are back, we are back. We are back from the toddling town. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you, thank you, thank you for, hey, for waiting for us to come back and for joining us today. This is Friday, October the 29th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Hans von Spakovsky, a buddy of ours from the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about the weaponization of the Justice Department when it comes to parents and school board meetings. You've been hearing about all of that, right? We're going to talk to him about, is it right? Are we going to be able to change it? What's going on there? And Alec Baldwin, my God, I go away, and what does Alec Baldwin do? He goes and shoots somebody. Well, he's in a ring of trouble right now with the fatal killing of a cinematographer on the set of his movie Rust. We're going to be talking about the incident with the proprietor of the barber pole, our very own Andrew Ceraci. He's got an interesting take on this fatal event. Wait till you hear what he thinks. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And Biden. Biden fiddles around in Rome while America gets burned with his Built Back Better agenda. What a name, Built Back Better. I got an additional B. Built Back Better BS. Anyway, we're going to take a look at how all of that is playing out right now. By the way, do you think that the Pope would excommunicate Biden while he's talking to him? Just wondering about that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. Those of you who remember our last show, my God, it was 2 weeks ago. We gave you the tallest men in history. We're gonna do turnabout on this one. The tallest women. The top 10 tallest women in history. Wait till you hear about it. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, the best haircut. Hey, it's the fall. We're going to have daylight savings end pretty soon. We got to get our hairs cut. We got to look good for that event. So call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. You want to look good. Nobody does a better haircut than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday. It precedes our program. It's 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network with Paul and Tracy Allen. All right. So Biden stumbles around yesterday before he takes off. He wanted to get that reconciliation deal going and the infrastructure deal passed. Of course, it's not getting passed. Nancy Pelosi can't figure out how to bring all those progressives in, and the progressives won't let infrastructure pass without reconciliation. So everybody's, it's all the Democrats that are looking bad. Biden's poll numbers since I left, he's gotten even worse. Is that possible? That he could get worse with his poll numbers? By the way, when was the last time, Ed, I know the answer to this question. I want to see if you know. Do you know the last time it was that Joe Biden held a press conference to answer? I'm not talking about a town hall, and I'm not talking about him sitting down with one guy that he loves that's going to spoon-feed him softball questions. But when was the last time, you think, he actually stood there and took questions from the press?
Well, he's done that a few times, but it's
only...
No, when
was the last time, do you think?
I don't know. The last time I heard him do any, it was always, now let's go to... and he pulls out the card, so it was predetermined. So that's not a real... not a real press conference.
I don't blame you for not remembering, but the last time he held a press conference, even with pulling out cue cards, July the 10th.
Hmm.
This is October the 29th. If my math is right, he's gone over 3 months without a press conference. And he wants to ingratiate himself with people? Are you nuts? Do you think that running away... You know, he gives that discussion before he boards the airplane for Rome yesterday about his Build Back Better plan and how great it would be. And then he turns right around from the podium and walks away. I mean, do you think he's going to become more popular if he acts that way all the time? I don't think so. Yet he continues to do it. Anyway, the Biden reconciliation plan running around, they were up at $3.5 trillion. They're down to about $1.25 trillion, $1.5 trillion. The progressives and the Congressional Progressive Caucus apparently got the best of Nancy Pelosi and Biden after they pushed for a vote on the infrastructure bill before Biden's climate summit. It forced the House to put off a vote on the bill one more time. So there you go. And they're demanding, this is the progressive wing, they're demanding more progress on the passage of the reconciliation plan before they will let the infrastructure bill pass. Because apparently they don't trust the Senate and the Democratic moderates to pass it. So there you go. This is what's going on right now. By the way, the GDP economic growth rate, it dropped to 2%. That's not good. The U.S. economy grew at a 2% rate in the third quarter. That is its slowest gain of the pandemic era recovery. And of course, we got the supply chain troubles. I guess those ships are still, excuse me, backed up outside of the ports of out there in California. That's not good news either, is it? Is the shelving getting any better? Is the product? I went to the store since I came back from Chicago. By the way, I was in Chicago for a wedding. Wedding went great, Ed. My nephew got married. Beautiful ceremony. However, my sister arrived late. She was supposed to give a reading during the service. And the priest, you know, got to that point and he turned and waited. And my sister wasn't there.
Was it kind of a Bueller? Bueller?
Yeah, he could have done that. He was very gracious. He didn't. And one of my other nephews rushed in and grabbed the piece of paper and read the deal. Anyway.
Your nephew read your... So people were confused with a little... Probably a stiffer, lower voice.
A little bit. Hey, by the way, you told me that I should be ducking bullets. Didn't you say something unkind to me about going to Chicago when I... Something. Oh, wear your bulletproof vest. That was it.
And made sure you had plenty of extra ammo.
And extra ammo, yeah. Well, there were a couple of bullets that dinged off my car, but other than that, I am perfectly fine.
It's a rental, right?
No.
Oh, you drove?
I drove all the way,
Oh, my God.
I drove all the way there. Wanted to keep my car. I brought back a little bit of a cold, so I will beg your pardon while I... do a little cough. Anyway, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, Hans von Spakovsky.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and thank you so very much. On a Friday, rather. What am I thinking? On a Friday. You know, when I come back from a trip, and I rarely go anywhere, Ed, let's be honest. You think about your starting over, it's always a Monday deal, right? Ah, today is Friday. Anyway, delighted to have back Hans von Spakovsky. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk a little bit about what is going on with parents at school board meetings, and all of a sudden, do we got to worry about the Department of Justice or the FBI knocking on our door because we go to a school board meeting? We want to express our opinion about what their kids are learning. Hans, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back. And yes, unfortunately, people do need to be worried. If folks haven't heard about this, it's really outrageous. I mean, I don't use that term lightly. On October 4th, the Attorney General sent a memorandum to the FBI, the Criminal Division, and all these other offices inside the U.S. Justice Department, directing them basically to form a task force to look at parents and other individuals who, you know, he tries to dress it up and saying who harass, intimidate, et cetera, school administrators and board members. It's very clear when you're reading the memo that what he's talking about is parents simply showing up at school board meetings and complaining about anything from a mask mandate to, most importantly, the teaching of critical race propaganda to their kids. And it's unbelievable that they put out a press release saying that they also are involving the National Security Division of the Justice Department, this task force. The National Security Division is a division that deals with terrorism and espionage.
Oh, my God.
And yet they are classifying these parents as basically, I think, as domestic terrorists. It is unbelievable. It is an abuse of the law enforcement authority of the Justice Department. They have no legal basis for doing any of this.
Sure. It looked like Merrick Garland was doing the back step all the way through that those series of hearings. Yes. That he's been going through. Yes. You know, we didn't really mean that. But you know what I think it's going to do? I think this is actually going to increase participation at school board meetings by parents. I really think the more you do stuff like this, I think the more people will respond. There is that protective instinct in a parent. It's just part of nature. And I'm wondering, Hans, I want to get your thought. Do you think in the long run we're actually going to have more participation by parents?
Yes, because I think, look, this made me, I've got three kids, this made me so angry. And I think that's going to be a reaction of a lot of other parents. By the way, we should mention that This happened 5 days. The memo that the AG sent occurred 5 days after the National School Board Association sent a letter to Joe Biden in which they asked the administration to do that. It is also the most outrageous letter. The letter is 6 pages long, and it actually says in there, it urges the federal government to use the Patriot Act. Act, which against these parents, saying that they're engaging in domestic terrorism and hate crime because of what they are doing. Apparently, the reaction against the National School Board for doing this has been so great that they actually issued an apology.
Yes,
and withdrew the letter. But that doesn't stop the damage it's done, and it also shows how. Look, it's clear the AG acted not because of any law enforcement concerns, but he acted for political reasons to make the National School Board Association, which is a big supporter of the president, happy.
Oh, there's no question about it. And he looks like he's being, I don't feel sorry for him, but it's like he's taking all the blows. You know, he's the thing that's being hung out to dry. And
But he should be.
Yeah.
He should be hung out to dry because, look, the Attorney General is one of the most powerful individuals in the federal government. I used to work at the Justice Department. I can tell you the Justice Department can basically destroy any individual because they've got the resources, the money, and the power to do that if they want to launch an abusive lawsuit or prosecution of you that is unjustified. And that's exactly what he is organizing the Justice Department to do.
Now, is this whole attitude by the Biden administration and the Justice Department because of the pressure of the teachers' unions?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. School boards don't like the fact that all of a sudden parents are showing up at their public meeting and questioning them about this. And, you know, they're claiming somehow that there's all these threats and violence. That is simply not true. When Garland at his hearing in Congress was asked about this, well, what incidents? He couldn't name any. The only incidents that they could name in the letter the School Board Association sent was during two separate school board meetings in Michigan, an individual yelled a Nazi salute in protest. In other words, he was saying that the school board members were acting like Nazis. Oh, and here's the other one they complain about. Another individual prompted the board to call a recess because of opposition to critical race theory. So the fact that a school board called a recess of their meeting because there were parents there opposed to critical race theory, that's an act of domestic terrorism.
Yeah. Ah, it's crazy. We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. He is a senior legal fellow at that great Heritage Foundation. And by the way, the Heritage Foundation, the president has called for Congress to hold Biden and his administration accountable for what they call the weaponization of the Department of Justice. That's exactly what it seems to be doing. Now, a lot of this seemed to start after this thing in Loudoun County, Virginia, where I guess a father got tackled, or he was on the ground, wasn't he? He was there to try to talk about what had happened to his daughter. And apparently the school board almost disavowed that it even happened, right?
Yes, and he was not engaging in violence. He was not doing anything that justified the actions that were taken against him. His daughter was raped in a school bathroom, a girl's bathroom, by a boy dressed as a girl. The school board basically covered this up. They transferred this kid to another school, the boy who had done this, where he apparently assaulted another woman. This parent was there to complain about it and to bring, you know, talk to the board about it. And what do? They get him arrested.
Yeah, it's almost a movie kind of a craziness. Yeah,
Yes, it is. And the people who acted badly here was not that parent. It wasn't that father. It was the members of the school board. It was the police department. And it was the apparently liberal prosecutor there who's talking about filing criminal charges against this parent.
You know, I don't know that the Biden administration could do any worse than it's doing right now, almost on every front. I mean, they are hitting those topics that mean so much to people. Look at the cost of products now. So we got inflation going on. We got the border situation going on. We got the cost of gas. Yeah, I mean, every day I get up, the cost of gas is increasing. But when you start playing around with the kids and what you're teaching the kids, and you want to go to a board meeting and express your displeasure or ask a question or find out what they're doing in class, and you get this kind of a treatment. First of all, what is the Justice Department doing being involved, or the FBI? If there's some trouble at a school board meeting, pick up the damn phone and call the police.
No, that's exactly right. And people forget, and this administration obviously doesn't understand, that under our Constitution, the federal government has no general police powers. They only have law enforcement authority in very specific, very limited situations. At a local crime, a local assault, does not give the federal government the authority to come in. That's a matter for the local police. So even if there was violence going on, and there isn't, this would be something for local governments to take care of, not the U.S. Justice Department, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the Department of Homeland Security, which the National School Board Association also wanted brought into it.
Yeah. By the way, your president at Heritage, Kay James, was a former member of the Virginia State School Board. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that something? So
it is.
He's called for the for Congress to do something. I'm just wondering, Hans, what can Congress do? What should they do, and will they do it?
Well, remember, Congress has the power of the purse, and they could, if you could convince Democrats to do it, put an appropriations rider in that says that the Justice Department cannot spend one penny on anything having to do with what the Attorney General directed the FBI and everyone else to do. And it would be a violation then of federal law if they did that. That's the way to get at the Justice Department.
Yeah, of course, with Pelosi in charge and Democrats in charge, we're not going to see that. But I think that their fingers have been burned. Don't you think they're going to step back from all of this? Go ahead.
I would hope so, and it may be particularly burnt if, you know, there's a governor's race in Virginia this coming Tuesday. The polling shows that the Republican, and it was a tight race, is now ahead of the Democratic candidate, Terry McAuliffe, and they're all pointing to the fact that this issue came up in a debate between the two, and Terry McAuliffe said, parents should have absolutely no right to have anything to do with what's going
on. Oh, does he wish he could take that back? I'll bet the Republican candidate must have been running that tape. I don't know how many times since the Republicans must have been gleeful when Terry McAuliffe said that. What a stupid thing to say.
It is a stupid thing to say, and that may be what significantly affects the outcome.
Yeah, he's up by 8 points, isn't he, the Republican candidate there in the Virginia?
Yeah, it's quite something.
Holy Toledo, it's really something. Hans, it is always a pleasure. Gosh, I'm so glad we have people like you in Washington watching what's going on there. We need you guys more than ever, especially over there at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so very much.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All righty. Hans von Spakovsky, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Alec Baldwin. What a comeuppance for Alec Baldwin. We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
Honey, get your bopping shoes for the jukebox blow the fuse. Everybody hopping, everybody's bopping, bopping at the high school hop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. So, Alec Baldwin, the last I heard, he was wandering around shopping or something in, was it Vermont? They were doing a movie called Rust in New Mexico. I think they were doing it on the cheap. From all that I've been able to read. And you know the story. Alec Baldwin, for some reason, picked up one of the, you know, they were doing, it was a Western, so I'm assuming it was some sort of a Western pistol. He picks it up off a tray and like an idiot, he aims it at a couple of people on the set, namely his cinematographer and the director. And the bullet goes through one, I think it was the cinematographer. Thank you for the sound effects, Ed. Very, very timely. The bullet goes through her and then hits the director. It's one bullet. First of all, if you know anything about guns, why in the hell are you pointing a gun, whether it's loaded or unloaded, at anybody? That is stupid to begin with. We've got the proprietor of the barber pole. Andrew, you have a gun. You know the first rule about a gun. Even if you think it's unloaded, you don't point it at anybody.
Well, you never, ever point a gun at anybody. Now, you know, the weapon that he used was what they call a single action. He actually had to pull the hammer back, then pull the trigger.
Okay,
it was an old Western gun.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've been researching this, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of funky things going on here. I mean, if you research it, have you at all?
I have not, only from what I've been reading like everybody else. But I know you have a theory, and I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. So here's the scenario. We got the cinematographer, we got the director, we got Baldwin, we got all these people running around.
All right.
You got someone called an armorer that puts the gun on the tray. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, no matter what, the gun was in his hands. He's the one responsible for what happened, period. But if you research this, the woman that got killed, now you remember the attorney that was with the DNC and Hillary Clinton and the Durham investigation?
Yeah, Durham's going, in fact, the Durham people have indicted the guy, right?
Right, they've indicted him. Now, the law firm that is defending him and the DNC, her husband works with. He's an attorney.
Okay.
Works with that law firm.
The husband of...
the woman that got killed.
Okay. The husband of the cinematographer works with...
right.
The law firm that is...
representing that attorney that got...
the attorney that got indicted by Durham. Okay.
Okay. Now, according to what they were saying, her next movie she was going to produce had to do with child pedophilia in Hollywood. Boom.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it sounds kind of fishy to me right there. Now, the woman handed the gun. According to what I was reading, they went to lunch. The gun was put in a safe. Someone came out, put it back on a table. Now, they found 500 different rounds in there. Blanks, loaded rounds, and pellet rounds for that gun. First of all, what are loaded bullets doing on the set?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's the first question. Go ahead.
Okay, now, the woman and her husband have married for 16 years. Maybe he wanted out. He's a high-end attorney. Divorce could cost him a fortune. What a better situation to off somebody who could involve Epstein and the Clintons in a pedophilia movie about Hollywood. You got an attorney representing Hillary's and the DNC's attorney that got subpoenaed. And you got Alec Baldwin as the fall man. It's an accident. You got to kill two birds with one stone, literally.
Well, it would be kind of the perfect crime because...
That's right.
Baldwin, I thought he just picked up the... did somebody physically hand him the gun?
Yes. Actually, the producer handed him the gun.
So he didn't pick it up, just walk over to a tray and pick it up.
The producer picked it up and said, cold gun. First of all, the producer is never supposed to touch the gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to come right from the armorer.
So Baldwin picks up the gun, and I don't know how far away these people were, the cinematographer and the director. They apparently were standing next to each other. Does he walk over there, aim the gun at the cinematographer, pull the hammer back and shoot?
And then pull the trigger, yes. It's a perfect crime, Paul.
God.
It's the Clintons.
Would in your scenario, would Baldwin know that he was about to kill the cinematographer?
Probably not.
Well, how can we talk him into going over there and firing at her? I mean, somebody has to say, hey, by the way.
That was a stupid move on his. Maybe he thought he was just playing.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's hard to...
The gun is in his hands. He's the one liable for everything.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying it would be kind of hard to set up a crime because you're banking on Baldwin doing what you want him to do.
Well, you know what? He does a lot of stupid things, doesn't he?
Yes.
They could have bet on it he was going to do something like that.
Well, that's true. You know, he was guilty of, I think it was on a Twitter or a Facebook, of attacking a poor policeman that had ended up shooting somebody in some sort of a...
How does it feel to kill somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now he knows.
Exactly. What a comeuppance it is for him.
But I do smell a rat there somewhere, Paul. Who, what, or where... That, believe me, they will get to the bottom of it.
Wow.
To me, this is like the O.J. Simpson scenario, you know? I still believe his son was the one that killed the woman.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think O.J. killed her?
No. At that time, it was his 21-year-old son. He hated that woman because O.J. Simpson never took care of his black mother.
Okay?
Now, yeah. They knew that the kid killed her, and they said, listen, we can't get your son off, but you're O.J. Simpson. We can get you off. This is the same type of scenario.
So O.J. was covering for his son.
Exactly.
I see.
Well, he was driving around all over the place. He was on the phone with his attorneys telling him, we can't help you, or we can't help you.
Okay, let's go back a little further in history. Who killed John Kennedy?
Oh, that was the mob.
Okay.
There's no question about that. He crossed the mob.
Okay,
he
what about
him elected?
What about Lincoln? Who shot him?
But that was an angry Southerner.
Yes, it was.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
An angry Southerner. But
right.
These deaths, there's a lot of suspicious things to me.
There are. I don't mean to make fun of this, by the way. This is a tragedy that occurred. And there's no question about it. I would suspect, one thing I know, Baldwin and his company are going to be sued royally.
Well, technically, they need to put charges against him for negligent homicide.
Well, it's going to be negligence, isn't it? I don't know about the homicide thing, but...
It's negligent homicide, Paul.
Why would he...
The gun was in his hand. He should have checked it himself. He should have released the chamber on it, make sure that there were no bullets in there or there were blanks.
Yeah.
He should have checked it, and he should have never, ever pointed it at somebody, pulled the hammer back and pulled the trigger.
On another issue, our buddy the governor, Ron DeSantis, you know, he's looking better and better every time. Now they've got a story going that the numbers of cases in Florida have dropped to one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in the continental United States.
That's right. You don't hear that, though, on the news, do
No.
you?
No, you don't.
Why? You know why? Because Biden didn't have it happen.
That's correct.
Like I say, they're still pushing the shot. Now we're getting to boosters. You know what they can do with those boosters? Okay? But the monoclonal antibodies is the answer to this pandemic. Ron DeSantis was on it. He did it. He opened up the sites. The people that had the symptoms got the antibodies, and boom, they're gone.
Yeah. No, he's looking better and better when it comes to all. You know, I was up in Chicago for a wedding, and they're all over the place. The mask, you go into the grocery stores. Not that we don't have more people right now coming back to wearing masks because of the hybrid virus thing, the Delta variant. But we don't have as many. And Illinois is not doing any better. It's doing worse, I think, than Florida when it comes to this thing. So
everybody's doing worse, Paul.
Yeah.
Everybody. Hey, what do you think about Biden with his, I'm going to go across the border to Mexico, give up my American citizenship, and I'm going to come back across, and I'm coming back as an illegal immigrant.
Who?
I want that $450,000.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know the $450,000. In fact, I got a story about that nonsense. We're going to now give people that supposedly got separated at the border from the rest of their family $450,000. Are you kidding me? $450,000? What idiot? What? Of course, first of all, God forbid, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. What idiot would even think of bringing that kind of nonsense up? I mean, aren't we outraged enough what these idiots are doing or not doing at the border? Now they want to pay illegal immigrants? I can't think of a worse scenario.
I can't wait till he meets with the Pope. We're going to find out what happens when two communists...
Oh, no. He met with the Pope. And did you know what the Pope... The Pope handed... You know, he gave him a gift, by the way. They always exchange...
They met already? I thought he wasn't leaving till yesterday.
No. I saw him sitting there talking with the Pope. And they exchanged gifts. He gave the Pope some very nice ornament of some sort. The Pope gave him an envelope. He said, don't open it till you leave. So he held on to it, and he walked out, and he got into his limo outside of the Vatican. He opened it up and said, you're excommunicated.
That would be beautiful.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be beautiful. Paul, it's such a mess what is going on. I tell everybody, I really believe. Now, if the Republicans take over the House in 2022... Now, you know, Trump doesn't have to be a member of Congress to become Speaker, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We want to go back to that idea. Go ahead. He does not have to be. The Speaker of the House can be a non-member of Congress. You are right.
That's right, okay?
Yeah.
So now if we take over the House, boom, they nominate Trump as the Speaker. We get Biden impeached. We get Harris impeached. And then Trump's president.
Wait. Oh, I see. But we have to knock off Hillary. I know what we do. We hand at Baldwin another gun, and we tell him to go wandering around the halls of Congress. What do you think about that, the Capitol building?
Well, you know, Paul, like I say, I stand behind Alex Baldwin. I wouldn't stand in front of him.
You stand behind Alex. Oh, my God. Hey, do you follow... it looks like, you know, you mentioned the House, and I think it's clearly going to go to Republicans, unless, and we still have over a year, but you never know. But the way things are going right now, you got a race in Virginia. It's totally turned around.
8 points ahead. 8 points ahead.
The Republican, and I should have the story here, and I can't remember
well,
the
guy. They keep messing with the women, Paul. That's what I tell everybody. The women and the dogs, you cannot mess with them.
Yeah.
Hoochie's in the crap about the dogs. The Democrat governor, he's in the crap because of the women with the education.
Yes.
You know, now, yesterday, I had a plastic surgeon come in the shop. I was cutting his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you this one. This one's really going to upset the women. Because you know what there's a shortage of right now?
What?
Breast implants.
Really?
Yep.
You mean the stuff, the silicone gel and all that stuff?
I just understand the whole implant. There's a shortage.
Where do we get the implants from, China?
I have no idea. All I know is what I was told by a plastic surgeon.
So what are they going to do?
Any names.
So all of these...
I guess we're not going to have the sights we've had for a while.
So we're not going to have all of these big-bosomed women wandering around for a while.
That's it. And that's going to...
I think that's a shame.
Mad too.
Huh?
That's going to make the women mad there. Boy, they're getting the wrong... mad.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, you know... If the shortage has got to breast implants, you know that our country is really in trouble now.
Well, you know, I told you, that's the worst that could happen.
My goodness.
People would rather be out of toilet paper than they were breast implants.
I think you may be right. Andrew, it is always a pleasure. I'm so glad to be back so I can talk to you. And
all right, Paul.
You have a great weekend. How is your beloved wife
doing?
You
know, today is the first day I took her off her oxygen, and she's maintaining.
Okay, so she's making the progress we're hoping for.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely. She's doing great.
Well, send her our love. That's Nicole.
I will.
And we will talk with you again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Andrew. The master barber himself. Okay, let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a college, Wichita State, because they have entered the arena of campus quackery.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. I was thinking this weekend would be daylight savings. It isn't. It isn't. It's a week from Sunday. So keep your clocks where they are. Keep your hands off the hands of the clock. For another week. Okay. Wichita State. By the way, they have one of the greatest nicknames, Ed. They're the Shockers. The Shockers. They've got a little character that's like a shock of wheat. What a name. The Shockers. I like it.
Actually. Sounds intimidating.
It does it not? The Wichita State Student Senate, however, voted down a request by Turning Point USA. Now, that is a conservative organization. They voted down a request to establish a campus chapter at Wichita State. The vote was 21-14. Okay. According to the minutes of the meeting, one student voted no because the group Turning Point USA, quote, won't provide underserved students a safe place on campus. Now, there you go. Won't. In other words, here's a student running around. He's probably a misogynistic, non-gender, binary, whatever it is. He's running around and he's being chased. Can't Turning Point USA open the door to their place and let them in and let them hide there? That's the kind of thing that turn. This is why this guy voted against him. Another student said he voted against Turning Point because it has a history of defending racism. Of course, he couldn't come up with anything, but he said that they, Turning Point USA has a history of defending racism.
But he couldn't find the history.
No, he couldn't find anything. Okay. Anyway, so thank goodness that they actually have at Wichita State a Supreme Court of the Student Government Association. This must, it sounds like it's a complete government system unto itself there. They overruled the Senate and allowed Turning Point to register. So all is well that ends well with Turning Point. We're very happy for that. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, which is, by the way, the top 10 tallest women in history, I want to talk to you about sports. We got a lot of catching up to do. The last time I saw you, we didn't have the World Series going on. We've got Atlanta and we've got Houston, and you know we don't need to talk too much about that. It's like one game apiece, right?
Well, yeah. Most people are voting against the cheaters.
Yeah,
Houston. That would be most of America, like 99.9999%.
Remember, Houston's cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know they all try to steal signals. You know that.
Yeah, but they went beyond that. They used technology.
They had an elaborate system.
By the way, I didn't know if you knew this, but there was a problem in baseball with PETA, you know, the animal people.
Yeah, what happened?
They want the bullpen renamed to a more sensitive name for animals, like Arm Barn.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
No kidding?
Yes.
The bullpen is an offensive name?
Bullpen is an offensive name towards bulls.
I thought you were going to do a
joke.
No,
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. They want to change to a more sensitive name against animals that is not against animals, like Arm Barn.
Look it up. I'm dumbfounded.
Look it up.
Oh, I believe you. I believe you.
It's just ridiculous.
I'm still surprised the Atlanta Braves are called the Braves.
I'm surprised that they're allowing the game in Atlanta. Remember, they didn't allow that, you know, before, you know, but money talks now.
Yeah, of course it does. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back. There are two other teams we're more concerned about right now. It's our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, and we have. And by the way, I looked at the Lightning. Are they're not much better than a 500 team, right? What's
barely
going on? What's going on?
Barely, don't know. I mean, the injuries, of course, but most of their games they've started from behind. You know,
what
I think only one game this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got Kucherov is gone for a while again.
Yes.
You know,
I did not know he was gone.
He's been gone for a while, and he'll be gone for a while.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No wonder. That speaks for itself. Kucherov, yeah. He's one of their stars.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the Bucks? They're doing good.
Bucks are 14 out of 15 in the last 15
games.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, they're amazing.
That Tom Brady guy.
Unfortunately, I watched my Bears be humiliated. They scored. The Bucks scored within like 2 minutes of the game.
That should have been 70-3.
Look, don't rub it in.
The Bucks took the foot off the gas in the second half. Crying out loud.
I think that the coach of the Bears is in jeopardy. Actually, I really do. No, but not that they have anything to match up against the Bucks. But 38-3 is in them.
Well, you got a rookie at quarterback. I mean, come on. I mean, he's
we couldn't stop.
Yeah,
we couldn't. The Bears could not stop.
Yeah,
the scoring.
Khalil Mack, he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, that's another thing. So the whole thing. Anyway, we are happy with both our beloved Bucks, and we're rooting for our beloved Lightning. All right, here we go. Top 10 tallest women in history. Ed, we did the men the last time I was here. And so here we go. Top 10 tallest women in history. Number 10. Zhang Ziyu. You remember her? 7 foot, 4.98 inches tall.
Mm.
She's alive. She's still alive. She was, apparently she's only 14 years old. She
really?
Might grow taller. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number 9. Vasiliki Kalyandi from Greece. 7 foot, 6.5 inches tall. 1882 to 1904. She only lived to be 22.
Wow.
Yeah. Number 8. USA, Sandy Allen, 7 foot, 7 1/4 inches. She lived for 53 years, 1955 to 2008. Number seven, Siddhika Parveen of India, 7 foot, 7.97 inches, and she is still alive. 1985, she was born. She's 36 years old right now. Okay? Number six, Yao Defen, or Defen, I guess, China, 7 foot, 8 inches tall, 1972 to 2012. She was 40 years old. Number five, Jane Bunford of the United Kingdom. Good God, 7 foot, 11 inches tall. She was 1895 to 1922, died at age 27. Number four, and he's slow on the pickup on that one, Anna Bates of Canada, 7, 11 1/2 inches tall. My goodness. 1846 to 1888, died at age 41. Number three, another Chinese person. You know, Chinese people are typically short.
Yeah.
But we got a couple of them in here. This is Zhang Jinlian, 8 foot, 1 inch tall.
Must be adopted.
1964 to 1982, 17. She was only 17, poor thing, when she died. Okay, we have a tie, Ed, for number one, all right? So, roll the drum. Hold on to your seat. One of them is Elta Ewing from the USA. 8 foot, 4 inches tall. 8'4". Could she fit in?
Ella?
Elta.
Elta. Oh, yeah, I know Elta.
Yes, you do.
She got something off the top shelf for me the other day.
Well, you're older than I think, because she only lived in 1913. She was born in 1872. She died at the age of 40. All right. And the other number one is Trinche Kiever from the Dutch Republic, also 8'4". Now, this one is hard to verify, okay? You know why? She died at the age of 17. She was born in 1616.
Ooh.
And she died in 1633. So I'm not so sure they can confirm that one.
Yeah.
And it says unconfirmed in here. But 8'4". Can you imagine how tall 8'4" would be? Man,
and
or woman.
You know, they never live very long.
No, they don't.
I think it's a stress on the organs is what it is.
Yeah. And what is that disease? They used to call it gigantus disease.
Yeah.
Where they're, you know,
who
their features
that? Andre,
are rather...
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that Andre the Giant had that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, he did.
But he at least made a little money off of it, you know?
He did. Number one, you know, tallest man, if you remember, was in the USA. He was 8 foot, 11.1 yeah. inches tall. He was just under 9 feet tall.
Oh, Lord.
And he lived from 1918 to 1940. He was only 22 when he died. Thank you so much for being with us. We're glad to be back. We will be back again on Monday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.